What is up, everybody? It is your fave space cowgirl here to return for a solo dolo ep, baby. Just me, you, and the corpses in the Capitol. So let's do this. All right. So I was reflecting lately on my first interview with Dave Portnoy when he came on my show last year. And Dave is known, if you follow him, Barstool, you know, the news or anything having to do with life in general, you would know that he's very this like brash, in your face, give no shits personality, right? And I found it so interesting because when he came on my show, Cancel Me Baby, he was a totally different guy. Like he was taken over by a poltergeist that was some, you know, spiffy man who was all like, he had his hair slicked back in this, you know, nice little outfit and was all serious. And I made a joke about it, right, during the show, being like, look at you all put together today in like a spiffy little gentleman, right? But what was further interesting to me is how we talked about, you know, cancel culture and how he deals with it with his staff and his team in the workplace. And I said, you know, given this climate and how everyone has sticks so far up their assholes, like being Barstool, being that brand that is all about content, that is all about going there, you know, what do you miss most? And he talked about the idea of kind of just being a little more like rough around the edges in the workplace and pulling no punches and all this. What was really interesting to me is he said, when it comes to controversial issues, he will tell his team, his writers, his podcasters, like, there's no dog in this race. Stay out of it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to like rock the boat over this, because at the end of the day, this is a business, right? Like this is a business that I built on my back and I want to sustain that. So watching everything that's played out in the last couple of weeks, Dave sold Barstool to Penn. Then it was this whole thing because he literally bought it back for a dollar. And me being a fan of his and a Barstool, I'll be real. When he sold it to Penn, I thought it was, when a lot of people were saying this, I thought it was a little bit of a sellout move, because when you go corporate with anything, your hands are tied. They own your soul. And it is just a no fun club cemented in time. So then when he bought it back, I thought this really makes sense, you know, but unfortunately, in light of buying it back, not being owned by this big corporation, they were doing a ton of layoffs. And also, it's funny because the Dave I saw came out and he's been posting all of these hilarious videos eviscerating, this is before the layoffs, but like eviscerating all of these people who were sleeping or not even present in the office. He'd be like, it is 9:30. Where is this guy? Where is that? Where? Why is there cobwebs and tumbleweed at their cubicle, right? And I thought, personally thought that that was hilarious. I know some people could like, their panties can't handle it. It's a sensitive time. Like you can't be roughed around. But me personally, even when he said it on my show, like I miss just being a little more like brash and calling shit out and calling my employees this and that. Like, listen, I'm a New England girl. I have a tough skin. I pull no punches, as you know. So I find that shit entertaining. And I know some friends of mine are like, that shit is straight up abusive, but whatever. So all of this goes to say, it made me think about leadership and how it's so telling of all of the different dimensions of leadership and how it's messy, you know, in so many ways, how it's, you know, for better or worse, a human necessity for order and for structure and to get shit done, to be part of a team, right? But actually leaders themselves, how they are flawed and human and, you know, are all different. And like I said, just the messiness and the nature of it, right? Another example that is hot off of the press, hot off of the end zone is poor old Aaron Rodgers, okay? So I don't know if you, all the sports aficionados out there, but I have to say, like, this is coming from a Tom Brady biatch, tried and true, Connecticut born and raised. Don't test me. Like, I did not jump on the bandwagon. Court Crandall, writer of Old School, I see you on my IG testing my Patriots allegiance and loyalty. He's like, he hops out there. He's like, are you for real, a Pats fan? Like, listen. So this goes to say, I'm a Tom Brady girl. I really don't have any loyalty to Aaron Rodgers, but I have to say, his whole thing, what just happened, is nuts. I mean, the quarterback is the American hero. Like the no, actually the quarterback has is play is calling more plays and has more wits about them than our entire Congress's brain cells combined times 10. And this is talking like we're talking about athletes and they get hit in the head a lot. Trust me, I've interviewed them. They're not all there upstairs. Okay. They get hit real hard out there and they still got it going on more than these people making our laws. I'm getting to that. But the quarterback is so symbolic of holding a team together, you know, winning and victory. Like they are the leaders. And Aaron Rodgers, after this whole big thing, it's like Brett Favre leaving Green Bay, Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, goes to the Jets. It's this whole like hyped up thing. He's looking ripped. He's revitalized. Again, he like Dave Portman, like the poltergeist has left his body. He's shredded and he's ready to do this, right? And what happens, but after this whole anticipation, three plays into his first season game, he tears his Achilles and now is out for the rest of the season. Like soul is sucked from his body. Soul is sucked from every Jets fan. Like Jets can't catch a break. Soul is sucked from the stadium, what have you. And it got me thinking as a leader, you know, Aaron Rodgers is no Tom Brady. He is known for being, you know, an egotistical guy. And it made me think he hasn't spoken out yet. So this is like very fresh. And like I said, even I felt for him. I'm like, this is rough. Like I'm invested, right? But it made me think as a leader, so-called leader, it was supposed to be, how is he going to react to all this? You know, again, the messiness and the complexities and the significance, right? And what leaders and all different capacities of our culture symbolize and are emblematic of. So all of that goes to say, these are just small examples, you know, in the sports, we're in the ring coach, right? But got me thinking about the state of leadership. And these are just small examples, but what I have for you today is bigger, much more concerning and significant pressing examples of leadership. And it really, I want you to think, you know when people send you the same memes over and over, all these different people, and you're like, what does this say about me? I want you to ask yourself, what do these leaders who you're letting, you right there, you are letting lead your life, what do they say about you? So your space cowgirl today, we are going to go into space with these people in the Senate, at the Capitol, in Congress. We're going to go right up there and meet them in space and get right to it with them, right? So the first bucket of what I've noticed with leadership, again, this is not to reflect on Aaron Rodgers or Dave Portnoy, but like I said, bigger, more pressing, much more head scratching, actually sad existential examples. So the first bucket is just being purely incompetent. And I don't know about you, but I get memes sent to me all the time about how our Capitol may, like the Congress floor may as well be your granny's retirement home. Okay. And I am not talking at, you know, the early bird special at 5 p.m. when the cafeteria line is popping and they are, you know, they're in line to get their meds, they're playing Mahjong and they're having a good time over their meatloaf. Like this is just really pathetic. So first we have our leader in chief, okay? The president of the United States, the free land of our globe, okay? The leader of the free world. And this guy literally does not know his ass from his saggy elbow. He does not know. And guys, it's sad. It's like, I know we joke about it a lot, but this is real. Like if you voted for Joe Biden, you should be embarrassed. Like this is truly sad. And I know people always say, oh, it's better than the alternative Trump. That is a whole other thing I'm not going to get into, but this guy literally doesn't know who or where he is. Think about that. And we are in a democracy, people. Like we have the power and the privilege to pick. And we're going with this corpse bride's sloppy seconds? Like what is happening here? Just a few examples. Again, in case you are living on a UFO and not this cute little space cowgirls planet that is strategically placed here, okay? So he is in the middle of a press conference in Vietnam when the press secretary cuts him off, like shocking that he, and he's literally says, you know, I'm just following my orders here. The leader of the free world has like color coded ABC note cards. Okay. Doing what he's told, basically spelling out the, like I said, the ABCs, because he just does not know, and says, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed. What is this? We know you're perpetually in nap time. What does this have to do with anything? I mean, does it catch a mood? Yes. Do we all constantly, because of this climate, just want to go to bed? Yes. But you, 81-year-old, saggy-ass Biden, like, you do not, I can't. You do not have the luxury, sir, of in the middle of a press conference wanting to just go to bed. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like, can you imagine what goes on? Can you imagine what goes on? Like, if only the walls had eyes, they probably follow this guy around with a pacifier, some warm milk, and a mobile bed everywhere he goes, because he cannot keep his eyes open for 5 minutes, let alone like address anything of coherence to anyone. Let's not forget, when the fires in Hawaii were creating mass destruction, okay, probably like the state has never seen people losing their homes, like utter devastation, their homes, their livelihoods, everything just completely destroyed. This guy goes on some fairy dust rant about how one time, like, I can totally relate, because one time, like, a spark went loose. There was almost a fire in my house and my cat almost died. Like, sir, I'm not trying to have PETA come after me, but nobody cares about your cat. Nobody cares about your cat. Let's get real right now, right? Even on 9/11, we just had the 22-year anniversary of 9/11. I know it's still the most horrific day for all of us, right? And especially for us tri-state kids, because I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. We had no room to be detached whatsoever. It was literally right in our backyard. And this guy happens to speak to 9/11, like on a layover between naps, you know, between getting fed applesauce probably, and makes up some bogus about how he went to the 9/11 site the next day and what he saw. Come to find, he was there a week later. So this guy is spewing all of this kind of shit, and it is just truly embarrassing. Again, what does this say about you? We're going to get to Trump too, okay? Because you are all not off the hook. But let's just talk also about the Senate. Like, you may think this doesn't affect you, but like Space Cowgirl, it does. It is the presence that is all knowing, all being affecting your life, and you may not even know, right? So you have Dianne Feinstein, a 90-year-old California senator, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, she is the corpse bride. Like, she looks dead. She looks dead. She sounds dead. She has no idea who she is. She is 6 feet under, came back up, and that's that about that. Like, she has no idea. She may as well be at the Discovery Zone. Like, the Senate, what do you even mean? Mitch McConnell? Don't even get me started on this guy. Mitch McConnell, 81-year-old Kentucky. He is the Senate minority leader, okay, of Kentucky. This guy lately is asked a simple question. Maybe it's at a press conference. And yes, it's funny and it's going viral, but think about this. Like, would you feel comfortable with your own, like, your dad, your boyfriend, your boss, like, anyone acting in such a manner, who is of a prominent role in your life, who is making decisions, okay, with and for you, allegedly? You ask him something and his soul just literally leaves his body. He looks like he sees Freddy Krueger and Jesus's and Casper's love child right in front of him. Like, the fear of God is instilled in him. Like, he can see nothing else. Like, he has entered another dimension. Like, he is Space Cowgirl. He is in touch with aliens. And just his brain has left his body. What is actually happening? Okay. So if it is not the incompetent crowd, we have, I'll do you one better, the toxic and self-interested crowd. Now look, we know, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot. Anybody who is in a position of leadership or power, like, unless you're Gandhi, and even him, it's like, I don't know, like, there has to be some self-interest involved, right? Because unless it's just truly altruistic. And you're like, I just want to help the people. And we're going to get to like what actually makes a good leader besides like your Kappa Kappa Gamma leader, besides your cheerleading squad leader, like what actually makes a good leader. There has to be, I'm sure, with every, I'm literally trying to think of one completely selfless leader who has to have some sort of self-interest. Now, the spectrum of their self-interest ranges from, again, like altruistic, you know, I think this could be good for me and for the people, to truly deranged. Like, we're talking Hitler, like, talk about self-interest, okay? And how crazy that can go. When it comes, but also, let's discern power from a leader. Because this is something else I've been thinking about, right? Like, you think about like Kim Jong-un, you think about Hitler. Are these, you think about dictators, like, there's a difference in my mind between a leader and like a straight up dictator tyrant. And this is why I say we have such a privilege, because yeah, space cowgirl coming out here hot, guns blazing with the facts, but, and the TT, but we have the privilege of actually in a democracy, in the greatest one in the world, choosing. And it's like, we are taking it. We are taking it like Dylan Mulvaney's Tampax that was never used and flushing it down the toilet, right? Versus someone like that who asserts themselves in power and makes everyone's lives miserable. So to me, there's a difference. And that's why today we're talking about real good leadership. So with that being said, being toxic, I'm like, welcome to our leaders, everybody, being toxic, right? And self-interest. So let's think about the fact that Trump's mugshot, okay, is the photo heard around the world. It has seen like Kim Kardashian's paper magazine cover with her ass from here to Texas. It is shaking. I mean, it's collecting cobwebs. It's nowhere to be seen. It really had its moment, because this is the image that has now been solidified like until the end of time. And what's so crazy to me about his mugshot is how you have both sides of the aisle wearing it on t-shirts. So it's this crazy guessing game of what side are they on? Because I've seen hardcore leftists who can't stand Trump, who are literally doing a hex circle in his name on the daily, wearing it like, yeah, F you, making fun of him. And then I have conservative friends who are wearing it as their emblem and their sign of pride. Like, forget, the Jets jersey has been burned and the Trump mugshot is here in its place. And to me, whether you love him or hate him, it's like, what does that say about the presence that he had and has in this culture? Like, if I'm Trump, I am like laughing my way to the courthouse, because I'm like, well, I did something right, considering my haters are motivators and my lovers are propping me up. Like, what does that say? That's what's so crazy to me. And it's also, I don't even know if I have a definitive answer here, but it's something to think about. What does it say that this totally like self-involved egomaniac did something right to where everybody is wearing this guy's goddamn face? Like, what does this say? It doesn't say that America has a fetish for weird toupees and really bad tans. It says that this guy really got under their skin in one way or the other, right? And it got me thinking too about leadership. I mean, I get it. Like, I get that the thing with Trump is that he wasn't, you know, bought out like most, well, that's up for debate, but he wasn't under the control of typical career politicians. He was an outsider. And I do believe that he tried to put things into place that made, you know, the average person feel heard, but he too got so caught up in his own goddamn ego in annihilating the other side that it felt like it just became the Trump show. Like, dude, if I wanted to watch The Apprentice on reruns, I would, but it just became the complete and utter Trump show. And that's what got me thinking too about leadership, which we're going to explore in a little bit, is what is the line of, because I believe a leader has to be about something and be about something unapologetically, but to what end? And is the line, okay, are you actually helping people and enhancing our lives? Or are you just being a self-destructive lunatic? Like, to where like you don't give a shit what the repercussions are, like, so like we're talking about like an Andrew Tate, you know, what is the line there? So that's something to also think about, because obviously like you have to be about something, right? It's like, what is the expression? Stand for nothing, fall for anything. So I totally agree with that. But again, I think he's a good example of like, it just goes a little bit too far. I would not put it past it if he jerks off to his own mugshot photo, but looking at it on a poster, like the Backstreet Boys poster on his wall and wearing it on his t-shirt. I would not be surprised. As I would not be surprised if a lot of conservatives in his country were doing that very pastime. But it's something to think about there, right? Again, where ego and narcissism and self-interest all play into this. Another example of being toxic is late night TV hosts. Like, are these people okay? We're hearing this now about Jimmy Fallon, which, by the way, none of this is any surprise to me, but basically he's having an Ellen DeGeneres moment where his staff is saying that there are literal suicide cry rooms where they need to go and think about their life because Jimmy Fallon is making them feel like in a nihilistic type of way. Okay. Like just toxic, erratic, up and down all around. And how ironic, again, like what does it say about us? Granted, we don't see everything that goes on behind the scenes, but it makes you think about leaders, even like a Trump, like these people who with late night TV show hosts, you know, you're letting them like right in there, cozy with you, Netflix and chilling on your sofa. These are the people who are America's sweethearts, right? And entertaining them every night. I mean, not so much now because late night TV is a thing of the past. Like only the only person watching it is the dinosaurs, but I mean, actual dinosaurs. I mean, actually T-Rex up here, okay, with his tablet. I'm not talking about like grandma in the aforementioned retirement home, but it got me thinking, it's like, wow. And really you have to be this, you don't have to be, but what does it say that so many of these personalities in real life are so toxic and narcissistic and egomaniacs. It makes me think for my own future. I'm like, am I too pure for this world? Like, am I cutthroat enough? And yet how ironic. Again, the people that we depend on, that we think we know, that are so funny and I mean, I've been over the Jimmy Fallon slapstick games since, you know, I was two. Like I just, whatever, it's just played. It's just old. I think it's just cheap smoke and mirrors, but whatever. Middle America, if you find that shit entertaining, you do you. But yeah, just again, really something to think about. It's like, what does it take that sort of cutthroat? Like, I will elbow your ass. I will clothesline your ass out of here so that I can succeed. And again, how much of it is for themselves and how much of it is for the people that they are supposed to be, whether it be entertaining, representing, helping out, you know, whatever it is, right? So it's really wild. It's really crazy to me that you have these people who, again, are supposed to be for the people in some way, shape, or form, and their heads are, like, literally up their assholes or small intestines, and back out again. Like, it's wild to me. And then I mentioned this example, too, of course, but somebody like an Andrew Tate, and I don't want to give this guy more energy than he deserves. I know it's been, you know, I've been exploring him on my show, given that he's been back in the limelight, and his, whatever, to his minions, he's always in the limelight, again, like, you know, him and the Trump poster are neck and neck in that race to who they're going to jerk off to. But, you know, that whole thing too. And I've explored why someone like that is such a, obviously, I think, you know, toxic, you know, self-involved, and why they are a leader. Again, does it just take this type of personality? In the case of him, it's like, again, I've said this, but men have been pummeled. I think mostly unrightfully so and unnecessarily so. And what happens, but it swings the other way. And, you know, Andrew Tate is their god, you know, despite all where he lies and the things that he peddles. And I also address this too, because given that my show is Cancel Me Baby, you know, I always take aim at cancel culture. It's like, cancel me, I dare you. The whole thing is a joke. Like the fact that somebody could lose their representation or get booted out of their jobs or lose their livelihoods because of like a Halloween costume that they wore dressing up as J-Lo, a Puerto Rican in 1999. Like, again, nobody cares, is ludicrous. Like, I'm always about evolving, having these dialogues, being able to air it out, being able to evolve and grow, which is why we need good leaders. Following the leaders, and none of these assholes, I'll tell you that. And so I've been watching his stuff and how people will say, you know, he's a changed man. He's a changed man from, you know, his webcam pimping business and, you know, allegedly exploiting women and all this. And nobody's perfect. We all grow. But in the case of him, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Like, for example, I don't buy that he, you know, was in this business of kind of, well, again, like webcam pimping, right? And now changes his tune and says, you know, women who do that are so unfulfilled and unhappy and hate their lives. And in the same breath, to like save his ass amidst all of this, you know, case and everything going on, says how the women he worked with speak so highly of him and will have his back and support him. So I'm like, okay, which is it? Like, that's why, again, I'm just like, I think like to his core, I just don't like what he's about. And that's my opinion, and you can have yours. But it's, again, it's like, how can both things be true? It's like, I perpetuated this business and profited off it, and the women are so miserable, and I think it's such a bad thing. And yet they were and are like so happy with me and are my biggest fans. Like, wouldn't you be like, fuck you, dude? And I'll just say, I don't buy it. So there you go. It's like, yes, we can grow and change, but not if you're Andrew Tate. And that is stamp, signed, sealed, delivered by yours truly, Taylor Ferber, with, you know, substantiated evidence. But yes. And all this goes to say, you know, it's with everything that we've said that I've said today, is the human need to be tribal and to be part of a team. And that's like, now we're seeing it to the nth degree. And that's why I get, it's like the free spirit and the libertarian in me, I know like many of you guys, challenges and pushes up against authority. Because when you think about it, it's like, we're on this spinning rock in the middle of goddamn nowhere. Take it from Space Cowgirl, she would know. And it's just all of these rules that have been put in place. It's like, by who, said who, why? So my natural instinct is to challenge that. And again, like, assert, don't tell me what to do or how to live. But on the other end of it, I get that we can't just be these, you know, animalistic Neanderthals on our own islands and having no order or structure. Again, I think it's that happy balance. And also the primal aspect of humans thriving off of connection and not just be, I mean, look what happened during COVID, right? Everybody went nutty, and actually it got really dark, and we're still dealing with the ramifications of that now because everybody was so isolated. So I get, we like being part of a tribe. We like being part of a team. We like having some order, but now, you know, I've just gotten really, extra with it. Okay. So like an example, and this happens on both sides. And the thing is, it's been going on, but now it's just on steroids. Like, it is just pumped. It is just pumping up like A-Rod in his moment of weakness. You know, I've been revisiting some of the 9/11 footage, obviously, because it was just 2 days ago. And it's funny because even then, like, George W. Bush was president. And at the time, I don't know if you know this, of the attacks, he was reading to kids in a classroom, reading a book. And he just kind of stayed calm, cool, and collected. They were like, you know, we don't know enough to stay here. And the left gave him shit at the time, like, how irresponsible, how, you know, whatever, like, some leader you are. And then against that, because I was 10 at the time. So I remember it so clearly, but obviously, like, I wasn't in the depths of like GWB's press conferences, right? Secret service dealings. Yeah, just interesting how even then he was given shit, you know. And even now, like, fast forward, so interesting, because like all of these politicians back and forth, it's like, it's literally a game of like, I know you are, but what am I? It's like, nobody gives a shit about any of you. Care about us. Like, put on your big boy and girl panties and they panties and care about us. Okay. But it was so sad because I was watching a clip with Kamala Harris, who, again, like, I don't know. I literally don't know where her brain is half the time. I don't think she knows. I think it's just perpetually riding around in a yellow school bus. But she's asked quite blank, I think it's like a CBS interview, you know, your numbers are really bad. You know, you're polling really bad. You know, the threat of Trump is polling really high. It's your competition. Like, are you threatened by that? Okay, Kamala, the one brain cell lady over here who managed to become the VP, says, I don't understand the question. Like, number one, a toddler can understand this. Okay. It's not hard. But then all she says is like, we're going to win. America knows what's at stake. And again, it's like, be real, be real. Like, again, this tribal BS, and we can all see right through it. You know, I saw a really interesting debate, actually, between Vivek Ramaswamy, who is this kind of like underdog Silicon Valley, son of immigrant parents, entrepreneur in the Republican race. And he did a debate with DC Drano, who's this huge Republican conservative. And it was just interesting to me to watch. Again, this is like how tribal people are about their thing, like how MAGA people go so hard and like will fight to the death for Trump, like on the other side of all of this, right? Is he just came off, and I read all the comments. I watched the whole debate. It was so fascinating. And even all these Republicans are in the comments, like just saying how hostile and mad DC Drano seems, and how Vivek was like so charismatic and honest, and you know, and that, you know, I don't know. I we'll get to that. If not today, we'll explore it at a later time. I do like him, but how he just was like so authentic and all this, right? So, you know, I thought that that was really interesting. And it goes to show, it goes on both sides, how we're just blinded by tribalism. And it's like, unless you're Bring It On, unless you're Gabrielle Union, unless you're Kirsten Dunst, maybe get a reality check. So I also really like, last thing about all this needing order and needing a leader, getting deep here, is religion, right? Like, what is more symbolic of this than religion and believing in God? And again, where, you know, it's a controversial take, but really thinking about it, you know, like being here in the Bible Belt for the first time, I'm seeing it all with a new lens. Like, my virgin eyes in many ways are, the cherries are being popped, right? But you know how people will, for better or worse, blindly follow something in a good capacity. It's like, right, faith, something bigger, but also to where, you know, how much does this hurt you? Is this detrimental? And I don't know about you, but I just started watching the show The Boys. I know I'm like 3 years behind, okay, story of my life, but there's a great line. They're at this like Jesus Expo. And it's, I don't know if it, the story of The Boys is it like flips superheroes on their heads, and all the superheroes are like fucked up and flawed and, you know, narcissistic and unhinged. And the guy Butcher, who just truly does not give a shit, is at this Jesus Expo, and he's like going toe to toe with this man there. And this line is so great. He talks about, you know, do you believe in God? Why does God have such a hard on for mass murder, for giving kids cancer, you know, in this existential shit show that is humanity? What does he do? You know, pin his own bleeding son to a plank, you know, like what? And I watched it and I was like, oh my God, I think this all the time. Like, again, nihilistic of me, sure. But you know, how true, right? And there's a line in it where a little girl says, you know, I know it's my duty. I have a friend who's Hindu, and I know it's my duty to make her, you know, follow Christ and believe in Christ and all of this, right? So again, that tribalism, that, you know, when does it go too far? And really looking at ourselves and going, you know, it feels really good to be a part of something, right? But looking at what that something is, you know, a dark turn on that is Scientology. And I was in arguably the epicenter in LA, and that shit is kooky, that shit is freaky deaky, that shit is scary, okay? Like, I, on a dare, pulled up to one of the Scientology centers, the main one, the big blue one. If you live there or been there, you know, the big kind of cross, and my spine is still in chills. Like, I still have not recovered. I still wake up in the middle of the night with PTSD. Don't come after me, guys. But you know, again, taking a dark turn, but the whole Danny Masterson rape case, and whether you think he did it or not, I'm hoping to dive into this a little bit more tomorrow, because I'm having a really interesting panel with two really hardcore women here in Nashville about it. But I think that he did it. That's just my personal belief, given all the information I've taken in, right? But moreover is where Scientology plays a role in this, and how corrupt it is. Like, first of all, like, the tax exemptions is one thing, like this sham and scam of an organization calling themselves a religion, right? But how corrupt, how toxic. Leah Remini, come on my show, The Floor Is Yours. Actually, Dave Portnoy, The Floor Is Yours too, because I invited you back on to talk about the Penn buyout and buying Barstool back and all that. So the invites are all around town. The carrier pigeons are out. But I don't put it past this organization to have allowed or encourage this kind of assault and bad behavior and then cover it up is what I'm trying to say, right? So again, you know, really looking at all of these powers that be. And I just want to say on a last kind of note, like really making me think, like what makes a good leader? You know, to me, a good, you know, because coming to grips with the fact that I get it, we can't just all be these, you know, cavemen animals, like I said, on our own little deserted islands. Like I get people like structure and order, but again, like think for yourself and don't let it go too far. Like don't be a Joe, don't be a Kamala, don't be a Trump poster on somebody's jizz wall, right? Like think for your actual self of how far this goes and how much you are willing to have an allegiance with a leader and let them run your lives, right? But to me, a leader is somebody who is assertive, who wants to enhance people's lives and make them better and inspire and motivate people, right? So again, is there some self-interest? Sure. But again, when does it go too far? And a couple of examples quickly before we hop off right off into space, set to jet, okay, which is where we all want to be with Space Cowgirl. It one in the political realm is Vivek Ramaswamy. I do think that he has a, like, I'm not bought out, like every career politician, like get at me. I've seen him be cornered and pressed on every single issue. And the way he answers it, again, I'm a little sus, but I think that there's really something there, right? Again, like sticking to your guns, being for the people for something bigger. He's like, I want my kids to be in the land of opportunity, period. Like this is what we need. We need to have identity. We need to have a strong sense of self, right? In the pop culture realm, I feel like a great example of a leader was Florence Pugh, who I did a whole Instagram post and a little baby essay on how she spoke out against critics of hers going, you know, showing her nipples and outfits and going braless and just saying like, this is my freedom and people can see how much fun I'm having. And as a self-actualized and realized woman, this is what I want to do against all the people, you know, saying whatever it is, you know, it's for attention or for validation, going too far and too over-sexualized and what have you. And it's not like real, you know, it's not really being, you know, being a woman or a modest, you know, self-respecting woman and what have you, right? And so again, with both of these people, you know, I feel these are two people who want to, who are about something, like be about something, who are like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to do what I do, regardless of what you say. And who, but this is the key here, is to want to empower and enhance other people's lives and help other people. So again, like this is where we seed out the bad apples. You know what I mean? All of that goes to say, really think about, like, I'm not going to be this preachy person who's like, rock the boat, guys. You know what I mean? But really think about whether it be, you know, your micromanaging boss, whether it be these literal mummified humans in the Senate, okay? Or even more sad in the White House, okay, is think about what your leaders, like the memes getting sent to you all day, really look at it and think, what do your leaders say about you?